Well, brothers and sisters, we just want to share for just a few minutes, and then we have perhaps another one to share for just a few minutes, and then we will have a fellowship, time of fellowship together. You look forward to that? Is that something to look forward to?
Yeah.
It should be, yeah.
Amen.
Food.
Oh.
Fresh coffee. We'll do all of that, but we have to. But there's something I would like this week, right now, to conclude what I was saying last week. I neglected to finish properly last week with a scripture which those of you who studied Revelation together. In your little Bible study on Revelation, you might remember this. Perhaps you can help me or correct me if I'm wrong. It's wide open here. But I'd like to read a passage that I should have concluded with last week from Revelation chapter 11. Now, last week's subject, for the benefit of those who weren't here, there are only two kingdoms. There is the kingdom of the earth and where we live, and the kingdom of heaven where we are headed for. Two kingdoms. On this earth, we have often hear many kingdoms because there are many kings and there are queens. But they are the kingdoms of the earth, but they are like all put together, there is only one from the perspective of Scripture, from the perspective of God Himself and the creation. There are only two kingdoms, the kingdom of the earth and the kingdom of heaven. And we spoke about that a little bit just off the spur of the moment. And honestly, be honest, I would be full disclosure, this is all spur of the moment right here as well. So anything I say is spur of the moment. But I want to read this passage because it means so much to the ultimate conclusion of those two kingdoms. What happens to those two kingdoms? This takes place, it's the seventh angel. And depending on your translation, it is also the seventh trumpet that is sounded. But let me pray first. Let me just pray once. It's been so good to be together, to fellowship together around the Word and praise and worship together. We do miss certain members of the body when hope is really good to be, but we still are together as the body of Christ, as members of the body, and the Holy Spirit is here with each of us. And so let's just ask the Holy Spirit to help us hear what the Word says today. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for being here with us. We have that full confidence in knowing you have never left us. You are here. But this Lord, this morning we would ask that you would help us hear. You would clear out anything in our minds or anything in our ears that would prevent us from hearing and prevent us from understanding. And give us a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ. We pray, we thank you for your word. We do thank you so much for it. Your word is living. It is the word of life to us, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to read this. Revelation 11:15, and the seventh angel sounded, and some translations say blew the trumpet or whatever, the seventh angel sounded a trumpet, the seventh trumpet. And there arose loud voices in heaven. Do you remember the seventh seal, what happened when the seventh seal was opened? That was earlier in Revelation, in Revelation 9. The seventh seal was opened. There was total, complete silence for a period of time. That must have been really an awesome moment when that seventh seal was opened. But this is very different. The seventh trumpet sounds, the seventh angel sounded, and there arose loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever." Doesn't say amen, but it should say amen right there. I want it to say amen. But it's not done yet. He's not done. But when this trumpet, the seventh trumpet, sounds, a loud cacophony will begin taking place. Like we have in this world here, the world that we live in, the kingdom that we are a part of and work in, there's all kinds of noises, isn't there? And it's getting noisier. It's getting louder. Everything around is noise. And there's noise in different ways. There's noise certainly in the sound. You live on a road where big trucks, and noises when you hit microphones. And noises when big trucks go down. I've never seen so many big trucks going down past our roads. And noisy. How they transport chickens from place to place on big noisy trucks. But there's also a different kind of noise. If you're on Facebook, you're surrounded by noise, isn't it? The internet brings noise into us. It used to be radio, then it's television, which I'm partly responsible for. And then now it's this internet thing. And now you carry in your pocket something that has noise. You can't avoid noise. But in heaven, when this seventh trumpet sounds, there's going to be noise in heaven. Not just on the earth, but in heaven. And it's going to a loud voices. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. So these two divided kingdoms will become one. One will become, that is, will be taken over by the other. And there won't be two kingdoms anymore, just one. And at that point, the 24 elders. Now, where is this noise coming from? We don't. It's the angels. It's or loud voices in heaven. And the 24 elders who sit on their thrones before God fell on their faces and worshiped God. Who are the 24 elders? Perhaps in the Bible studiers, you've concluded that. The 24 elders are representatives either of Israel. They represent the church, or they represent all of the redeemed. Did I leave anybody out? Could have been anyone. Whoever they are representatives, and they fall on their faces and worship God, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God the Almighty, who art and who wast, because thou hast taken thy great power and hast begun to reign." That's the most incredible thing to comprehend, to ponder for a moment. At the seventh trumpet is the beginning of the full, complete, total reign of God. In such a way, everyone will see it. Because, the next verse, the nations were enraged. I don't think that we have ever seen the nations enraged like they will be in this. And we see nations get enraged with each other. They get mad at each other, and as a result, wars happen. A war will take place. When two nations get enraged with each other, a little war will take place. But the war will conclude when one or the other is beaten down, or perhaps both of them beaten down. And some wars can last many years. There are wars in the past will last 4 or 5 years. Some in history have lasted 30 years. And there is even an historic war that lasted 100 years. You all know about, that's British history. You can read all about it. 100-year-long war. The people who began that war never saw the conclusion of it. And that rage between the nations never ended for that whole period of time. It's unbelievable. But this war, these nations, it's not a war, though the nations were enraged. And why were they enraged? Because the kingdom they own, they think, they may be right, they own, the nations own, they possess the kingdom of this earth. They are the kingdom of this earth. It's theirs. And they run it, they think. And when it's taken away from them, they will become deeply enraged by that. We see glimpses of that rage. We see it's not happened yet. But we do see glimpses. Do you see glimpses of it? If you read the news or you see images, you see the rage that takes place when someone, the nations are unrighteous and they do not want righteousness. And you see occasionally people who are unrighteous and want nothing to do with righteousness. And the nations will become more enraged at the thought of they are deeply angered at the thought of righteousness. They are displeased with it. And you see people today who want nothing to do with God, with holiness, with righteousness. But this is nothing. These are just little glimpses of what will take place in the last days. The nations were enraged, and thy wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to give their reward to thy bondservants and the prophets, to the prophets and to the saints and to those who fear thy name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. And this is what I would conclude with. This is marvelous. This is the one thing. The temple of God, which is in heaven. Some say the sanctuary. The temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened. Isn't that a marvelous thought? The temple is closed right now. No one could get in. One day, the temple was opened, and the Ark of the Covenant appeared in his temple. There's some allusion to this in Hebrews, isn't there? And I don't have time because this is spur of the moment, but there is allusion to the temple and the Ark of the Covenant in heaven, the heavenly place of it. His covenant appeared, the Ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. What is the Ark of the Covenant? Is it? A couple of questions rise in my mind, and maybe the Bible study resulted in this. You thought about this, but if the temple is opened up and then there is the Ark, what is the Ark in heaven? Is the Ark, this question that just occurs to me, is the Ark a box with some wings on the top. We've got it. We may still be out there. A version of it may still be out there in the garage. Is it this box with the wings? Is it a heavenly vision version of that? A copy? The original that Moses had? What is the ark? The ark represents, anyway, the faithfulness of God towards his people and the vengeance of God toward those who oppose God. Toward the kingdom of heaven and those, the citizens of the kingdom of heaven, is the faithfulness of God. To the citizens of the kingdom of earth, it is his vengeance. The temple of God, which is in heaven, was opened, and the ark of his covenant appeared in his temple. Now, is it a box, or is the ark a person? Might it be Christ? Some might say, this is Christ, a spiritual representation of Christ himself. We'll leave that for some perhaps to dwell on. But it appeared in his temple, and there were flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder and an earthquake and a great hailstorm. One commentator called this
I'll
put it a different version. It's the broadside of heaven. It's the full cannons of heaven blasting away this flashes of lightning, peals of thunder. I wish I could find what he said here about that. I'm sorry. I actually don't even know who said it, which guy said it. But it's right. It's the sound, along with all this, the loud voices in heaven saying the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. There is also these flashes of lightning and sounds and peals of thunder, like a long row of cannons going off all at once. This is the... Take those two sounds together. That is the sound of, what is it? How would you associate that? What is that? It's the sound of victory, isn't it? It is the sound of victory. It is the sound that will take place when the two kingdoms that we have right now become one kingdom. And the Lord begins to reign. As it said in the first, he will reign forever and ever. That we will see that day take place. That day will come. That day will happen very soon. When the two kingdoms become, right now we have two kingdoms. One day there will be only one, and the Lord will reign. And there'll be a lot of noise that day, won't there? A lot of noise. Are we ready for that? Are you ready? Hello? Are you ready?
God knows if we're ready.
That's interesting, yes. He does know. He is preparing us. He is making us ready. He is making us ready. We get excited when we think about this. When we talk about it, Here we're talking about it in the back when we're in the kitchen, we're having coffee. We're excited about the idea of recognizing the difference between the kingdom of earth and the kingdom of heaven. At least if you begin to see that, you begin to see, and some other things begin to make sense in different ways. You know, they've made sense before. As one was saying, they're talking about the parables in Matthew 13, or as I was looking at the Beatitudes, they begin to they don't I don't we're never wrong about them when we read the Beatitudes. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We're not wrong when we just read that and understand it and appreciate it. But to think that there are two, to understand, to be able to discriminate, to separate the two kingdoms, that there is a kingdom of the earth and a kingdom of heaven, to be able to see that, begin to see that, things begin to make sense. And when you see the stories in the Gospel of John, as we referred to last week, about needing to be born again in order to see the kingdom, it begins to make sense. Oh, and then being born of the water and spirit in order to enter the kingdom. This is the kingdom that will be with us for all eternity, one day. This is the conclusion of it. When the temple of God is opened in heaven, for real. So we pray for an open heaven. Is it possible we could pray for an open temple? That, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the understanding you give us, Lord. We would ask you to make this real to us, that we are citizens in the kingdom of this earth, but we are also citizens in the kingdom of heaven. And we would ask you to be able to help us. We'd ask you to help us to be able. I'll ask it properly, Lord. You would help us to be able to see the difference between these two kingdoms, as you are causing us to long more and more, to desire more and more the kingdom of heaven and the things of the kingdom of heaven. Lord, help us to see, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. That's my 10 minutes, that's all. Someone else has anything to add? Oh, did I? I'm so sorry.
That's all right.
I would appreciate Jeff's sharing and reminding us of what he shared last week, because this is very, very important. And I mean, very, very important. Doesn't fully describe. The Lord desires for us to know. He desires for us to enter in to his kingdom and his kingship, and to realize who we are. And when I say who we are who we are in him. And one thing I would just like to remind you of, to think about, because I'm not going to try to share any more than this, but I'll remind you of what, you know, the point that Paul made before we took a break there. Basically, if I might summarize, what do I do? How do I go forward? What do I do? And what is God calling me to do right now? And there is this matter. We are in the world, and we are in the kingdom if we've been born of water and spirit. If we've been born again, we can see the kingdom. We would see the matters of the kingdom. And I'll bring you back to what our brother Ed shared a couple of weeks ago. And I think this is extremely important, that beneath heaven, there is a beneath the throne, there is this activity taking place. This comes out of Ezekiel. This is the vision of Ezekiel in the first chapter. And I've never heard anybody say it the way Ed did, and I just want to remind us, if you didn't hear it, it's worth listening to. And if you did hear it, remember that beneath heaven, God's will is being done. The four creatures, the wheels, the wheels with the eyes, all this activity that's taking place, it's very confusing to our eye. It's very confusing from earth to see what is happening. But our understanding comes in seeing through into the throne room, seeing God on the throne, seeing our Lord Jesus on the throne. And despite all the stuff that's stirred up, all these things, the kingdom of the world has not, we've not come to Revelation 11 yet. The kingdom of this world still exists, and God is having his way in this world, even though it's very hard for us to see. But for us, it's like those creatures. The description of those creatures. They had four faces. And wherever the Spirit went, they went. They went forward. And so, as the Spirit leads, as you are stirred up by the things that God is doing and that you're seeing, go forward. Go forward without hesitation. Because the Lord will guide us. And if we are mistaken, if we need correction, he will bring it. He desires for us to move. He desires for us to see. He desires for us to go forward. That his kingdom would be seen. That his kingdom would come forth. And that it would be, and men would be drawn. We would hold him up, and men would be drawn unto him. So I just want to remind you of that. Consider the things, please, that you've heard today, and go forward.
I'd like to share something too, based on what you just said. If you would please. Mind, the Lord just opened something up between what you and Paul said, and it was something that something that struck me while Ed was sharing, that I didn't know what it meant, but now I do, I think. I think the Lord's opened it up to me. Those creatures that were going and doing God's will, the idea of what do we do to have God's will, the whole idea of 10 fingers and 10 toes pointed towards God. One of the things that it says about those creatures as they went about is when they changed direction, they didn't turn. And so they were always pointed toward God, whether they were going this way or this way or this way or this way. They never turned. And that's all 10 fingers and all 10 toes pointed towards God, just like those creatures. Just keep pointed towards him. You don't ever have to turn. It doesn't matter if something's over here. You don't have to turn. It doesn't matter if something's up there. You don't have to turn, you know? Just keep pointed towards him.
Amen.